As I was reading the gospel for today, I couldn't help but think about the newest round of fires in California and how it could be viewed as a baptism of fire. In medieval times, this phrase, baptism by fire, was used to describe a test of faith or an ordeal that people went through that were subjected to fire to prove their innocence or their commitment. Today, it was used by someone to describe someone facing a challenging new job or facing a difficult situation without prior preparation, a baptism by fire. As of Saturday morning, the fires in Los Angeles area have burned well over 35,000 acres, leading to evacuations for several hundred thousand residents. The situation has been declared a state of emergency by both Governor Gavin Newsom and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. Power outages are affecting well over 250,000 residents. Most of us here today cannot even begin to imagine what those Californians are going through. The phrase baptism by fire actually has its roots in the Bible. Parallel passages such as Matthew 3:11 and our gospel for today, Luke 3:16, speak of baptism by water and by fire. In these passages, we encounter John the Baptist, that wild prophet in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance. But John's message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins is just the beginning. It's preparatory. He points beyond himself to the one who will bring this greater baptism, a baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. Today, we'll explore what John means by this and the significance of baptism in our own lives. John proclaimed his baptism to be a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But it's just the beginning. It's preparatory. It's incomplete. It is a shadow of a greater baptism to come. John didn't baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nor did his baptism convey the Holy Spirit. It was closer to the cleansing rituals or washings of the New Old Testament practices, which had to be repeated often. When we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, it is not merely a symbolic washing. It is a real and tangible means of grace. As St. Paul writes in Titus 3, verse 5, he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. This renewal and this regeneration is not temporary. It doesn't have to be repeated. Our baptism in Christ is eternal, making us God's children for all time. And through the waters of baptism, we are united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. St. Paul speaks of this in Romans 6:4, saying, "We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." This connection to Christ's saving act marks the start of a lifelong journey of faith where we continually return to this promise given to us in baptism, the forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal life, salvation. John's words also point to a baptism of fire. Fire throughout Scripture is often a symbol of God's holiness, of his purifying work. Consider the burning bush in Exodus 3, where Moses encounters God and is instructed to take off his sandals because where he is standing is holy ground. Or the tongues of fire at Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, consecrating and empowering them for their mission to spread the gospel to all parts of the world. Or in Isaiah 6, where a burning coal was taken from the altar to cleanse Isaiah from all his sins so he could serve as a prophet of God. These moments and others reveal the purifying presence of God. Baptism of fire, then, is not a separate baptism from a water baptism, but it is a sort of an explanation or an expansion of what baptism actually accomplishes. It is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit burns away the chaff of our sin and unbelief, cleansing us, making us holy. This process, sometimes called sanctification, is the daily dying to sin and the rising to new life in Christ. But it's not easy. And at times it can be very painful as we are confronted with our own failings, with our own sin, and are called to surrender them, repent of them before our God. The Holy Spirit's purifying work, His fire, purifies us, enabling us to bear the fruits of faith. It is the Spirit who works inside of us, producing love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as recorded in Galatians chapter 5. Through this process of sanctification, we grow in these fruits and we become more like Christ, reflecting our faith to a dark and broken world. This process, though, is ongoing. It's never perfected in this life. It is part of an active relationship with God where He shapes and molds us to be His people. John goes on to talk about this picture of a winnowing fork in verse 17. And it reminds us that Christ's work is both gracious, but it's also decisive. The wheat, those who believe and trust in Him, will be gathered into His barn, a picture of eternal life. The chaff, however, a picture of those who reject Him, will face the fires of judgment. For many of us, this is a very uncomfortable truth. But it is also a call for us to evangelize. Through our baptism, we are called to live as wheat, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, walking in the Spirit, sharing the good news of Christ with an unbelieving world. Baptism equips us for this mission. The image of the winnowing fork is a powerful one, reminding us of the urgency of this calling. It reminds us that Christ's return is coming. It is certain. And when it comes, the final sorting of all humanity, much like the sheep and the goats from Matthew 25, will happen. This message is meant not to instill fear in the chaff of unbelievers, but it's also meant to instill faith and action in those who are the wheat. And as we are sent out into the world to plant the seed of the gospel, our mission is to live our Christian faith out boldly, serving our neighbors, proclaiming the gospel, pointing others to the hope that we have in Him. Through our baptism, the Holy Spirit equips us and empowers us to do this work, equipping us daily to be witnesses of the One who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Every day, we need to return to our baptismal identity. Our baptism is not just some event that has happened in the past. It is a present reality that holds a future promise. We are God's forgiven children, marked with His name and filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are continually being refined by His purifying fire, made ready for the day when He will gather us up into His barn of the eternal heavens. So let us hold tightly to this and give thanks for this gift of baptism, the water that washes us clean, the fire that purifies us, and the Savior who makes it all possible. And remember the words of Martin Luther, who taught that each day we should remember our baptism, drowning that old Adam that lives within us, rising to live as the new Adam, a new creation in Christ. This daily renewal is at the very core of our baptismal life. So let us live as those who belong to Him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, proclaiming with our words and our lives that the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire is our God and Savior. Let us be the wheat He gathers into the barn, bringing glory to His name in all that we do. Much like baptism, the fires in California are certainly a life-changing event, and the effects of this life-changing event will last for a lifetime. The fire in California has been devastatingly destructive, but it is also revitalizing and restorative. Now, it's easy for me to make this comparison. I'm standing here 1,800 miles away. It's definitely not that easy when you're standing amid the smoke and the flames. But both fire and baptism point to hope among destruction, the hope of renewal. May we always look to the source of our hope, our baptism, and the one who saves us from the flames of judgment, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.